Praise the Lord, brethren. God has certainly been good to us today. And I have been blessed by the word of the Lord that I just heard. I want God to help me to be a better hearer. How about you? I find myself oftentimes praying, God, give me an ear to hear, a heart to receive, and a will to obey. Let me say a special thank you. I guess I should say thank you. But I want Bishop Holmes, Brother Nathan Holmes, to know that I consider it a great honor today to be asked to address this great group of ministry. I want you men to know I love you and I appreciate you. And I value you more than I ever have before. There's probably more of you that I don't know than I know. And even though I don't know you, I appreciate the contribution that you make and are making to the work of God and the progress of the gospel all around this world. I was thinking about Brother Nathan Holmes, Bishop Holmes, and I thought, you know, only God knows the eternal contribution that this church has made in the lives of not just this generation, but multiple generations. This church has been making eternal contributions to multiple generations. And the ripple effect of this meeting goes all around the world. It has a global impact. And I want these men to know I love them and I appreciate them and thank you for hosting this. This is a tremendous blessing. As I listened to Brother Epley speak just a moment ago, I heard him begin talking about feeding the sheep. And then he closed addressing us to take heed that we don't allow bitterness to take root in our heart. Reminded me that we are all going to be feeding out of our heart. I pray God that He'll help me always to have a pure heart and an excellent spirit, that I would be feeding them the true word of God and not evil that's coming forth from my spirit. So I want you, brethren, to know I love you and appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship. And I appreciate the friendship that I'm being able to establish with Brother Nathan Holmes. And I was thinking just last night, Brother Holmes, that it is obvious that the hand of the Lord is upon you. It is becoming more obvious the hand of the Lord is upon you. And I believe the Lord spoke to me just last night that in the coming days it will become even more apparent. The favor, the blessings, and the hand of the Lord that is upon you. Hallelujah. Thank God for young men that take the burden, the work of God, and the will of God to heart and are willing to carry the torch to the next generation. I love you. Appreciate you. One more thing, and that is, brethren, we can have a perfect friend. We can have a perfect friend. But all of our friends are imperfect. And while we oftentimes think that we fellowship strengths, there's some things people say, well, I'll fellowship this, but I won't fellowship that. And we say, well, we're going to only fellowship certain strengths. Let me tell you, sometimes we may choose to fellowship certain weaknesses when we think we're choosing strengths. And we choose the weaknesses that we will tolerate and the weaknesses that we will not tolerate. There is no perfect fellowship, but we can be perfect friends and we can love one another and be a strength and a blessing to the body of Christ. I want to be that. How about you? I think this would be a good time to reach over to our friend and just ask the blessing of the Lord upon them. Let's pray together one more time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice in the strength of godly brethren. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'm not going to read a text today. The subject that I feel in my heart to preach this morning are here at the transition between morning and afternoon is simply as I approach the pulpit. Certainly not the epitome of preaching. Don't know it all. Certainly have a lot to learn today. But there are some things that the Lord has put deep in my spirit, in my heart, that I'm very passionate about. And I want to share with you some things that I have from the Lord, as I have sought to prepare this message. You know what it's like. Sometimes, this is the way it's been for me in this message, is that when you've got scattered thoughts and you sit down and you try to start pulling them together and see how they're all going to connect. And yet it seems like the more you write, it just starts scattering more, and there's just no way. I remember this happening in the years that I was evangelizing. I was like, I would just try. I would pray and I'd spend some time trying to put it together. The message for that service that night, and it never would come together. And what I often found is that when those moments came, really, I don't need to frustrate myself in the office trying to make it happen. But rather, I might just ought to go to the sanctuary and spend a little more time in prayer, because obviously the Holy Ghost is going to be doing something in that service. God may give me the message just right prior to me preaching, or the power of God just may begin to move in that service and there's no preaching. And so I found myself here again as I sought to be really prepared today. I wanted to have it all together, and I don't have it all together, because I feel like there was a lot that could be in this message, but that for some reason the Lord is choosing to either put out or just save it for the right time. And so I've been challenged today, even in this meeting, as I have approached the pulpit. But I am so glad that God is able, through His power, His glory, and His anointing, to accomplish mighty works through His Word. How many wants to be a better minister of the gospel? The majority of our time is out of the pulpit, but I want God to help me to be an effective minister in the pulpit. Let me start like this today. The young man David went onto the battlefield to fight Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse 40, the Bible said that David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And so David had with him, it seemed most all of the time, if not all of the time, a staff, some stones, his sling, and a script. Script just simply being a small traveling pouch called the shepherd's bag. It was used for gleaning. David never knew, as he traveled throughout the countryside, what he would find along the way that would help him in tending his sheep. And so he kept a script with him at all times, a little pouch. And when he found something that he knew that he could use, he would pick it up, put it in the pouch, and say, "This will be a benefit to me and to my sheep somewhere along the way. And so, as David approached Goliath, he chose five smooth stones. I'm not sure what David was thinking when he picked up those stones. Of all of the reasons that we could give today of why David picked up five smooth stones, I'd like to hear everything Brother Epley's ever heard in describing what all that could have represented and meant. But we don't know why he chose five smooth stones. Of all of the reasons that we could give today, maybe this was just as good as any. And that is, when he looked for a stone, he said to himself somewhat like this: here's a good one. Look, another one. And there's another one. Wow, a fourth one. And five. He knew good stones when he found them. As a skilled, what I would call, slingsman, he knew a good stone. And he said, I want to pick this up. I can use this. Now, we understand today that David did not need five stones to slay Goliath. I'm not sure that David knew he would only need one stone. But he didn't let a good stone stay in the brook. When he saw it, he picked it up. And so I think that's the mindset that you and I need to develop. And this may be mostly for younger preachers today, but I think this is the mindset that we need to develop when it comes to doing battle spiritually. And that is, when I approach the pulpit to preach the Word of God, to do battle in the Spirit, I'd rather have more than enough than not enough. I'd rather have to leave some things out for another lesson, part two, another day, than to have to stammer and stutter and try to figure out what I'm going to say next. To me, it's always better to have four stones left after the giant falls than to be looking around for another stone while he's still standing. And so as I approach the pulpit, I want to have more anointing than I have opposition. And as I approach the pulpit, I want to be able to preach more word than the devil can take. You didn't expect this today, but I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is going to come down in this house while the word of the Lord is going forth. Brother Epley already told us, I'm preaching to saints today, so I'm comfortable. Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to move in this house, and God is going to strengthen our soul. God's going to give some anointing and a touch to you ministers, that when you get back in the pulpit Sunday morning and you get back to church Sunday night, it's not going to be business as usual. There's going to be fire in your bosom and glory in your soul and a word in your mouth. Amen. I want it to be where the word hits like a hammer until spiritual breakthroughs come, till revelation happens, till people are brought from darkness into light. And when it's all said and done, you still got more book to throw at it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be able to preach where saints and sinners hit the altar before you can finish. Amen. I want the Lord to help us, amen, today to somehow, amen, receive what we need so that we can be what we need to be when we hit the pulpit. And so, for you that have brought your shepherd's bag, you know, you can't get away from that burden, that responsibility. It just stays with you. For those of you that's brought your shepherd's bag today, I believe the Holy Ghost wants to give you some stones. He wants you to place in your script. That'll help you as you approach the pulpit. And I've already given you one. And that is, always have more than it takes to win. Always have more than it takes to win. Study, 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 study. And pray, 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 pray. And then preach, 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 preach. And then study, 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 study. And pray, 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 pray. And then preach, 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 preach. And then do it again Wednesday night. And then do it again Sunday morning. And then do it again Sunday night. And do it again on Monday. Do it again on Tuesday. Do it again on Wednesday. Do it again on Thursday. Do it again on Friday. Because I'm going to tell you, amen, victory is already predetermined for you. Doesn't matter what you're up against or what's up against you. Blessing is for you. Victory is for you. Progress is yours. Hallelujah. 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 Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 10. The Bible says that the preacher sought to find out what? Acceptable words. The preacher searched through worship and prayer to find out desirable words. Through much study, he mined for golden nuggets of truth. Palatable words that the lovers of truth would want to hear. He researched with passion and listened with an attentive ear that he might find words that he could speak. Words that would have substance to them. Words that were weighty in eternal value. Words that would make one wise unto salvation. I liked it when I looked at the verse above, verse 10, Ecclesiastes 12 and 9, and the verse that followed it. Sandwiched together, the Bible lets us know that moreover, because the preacher was wise, because the preacher was intelligent and skillful and artful, he still taught the people knowledge. He continued to impart knowledge because he was wise, he was artful, he was intelligent. He had the ability to keep feeding the flock, to keep imparting knowledge. It didn't become repetitious. It wasn't the same old, but as long as he lived, being a student, he was able to convey more truth. And what he learned at 60, he had his young preachers learning at 20. He was a good hearer. He listened intently with his heart. And because he was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, and the Bible said, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Because of the wise man's diligent search, he discovered, he found much truth. And it was more than that. He organized much truth. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. He looked for the best ways to communicate the truth. He wanted the words that could be easily received. The Bible said, and that which was written was upright. Whatever that wise man and that preacher was jotting down, he might have been jotting down a quote. Whatever he was scribbling, it could have been an original composition. It was all truth. Unchanging, unalterable, unadulterated truth. Solid gospel. You know what I believe we need in this generation? We need more solid doctrine preached. We need less suppositional preaching. We need less good ideas and more solid doctrine that'll keep this church on the sure foundation of the Word of God. Let it be that our words are upright and truth. Can you say praise the Lord? And so the preacher is always looking for more. Brother Como, bring me my phone. I told Brother Como, I said, keep my phone for me. And then if I ask you what time it is, you let me know. But I, hold up, stay right there. The other day I was listening to a book on Audible. And when it got to the end of the story, the number two man was conniving against his rich boss. And he wanted actually to kill his boss and take his business. And it was a really positive book. And make sure Brother Joyner don't text me. When one of the guards saw the business owner turn and shoot the vice president, he was like. And he found out that the owner knew that this man was undermining him. And so he looked at the man that was slain, the guard did, and he said, he was a stupid man. And this is what the boss said. He was actually a very smart man, which can make people do stupid things. Where there is intelligence, there is ambition. And where there is ambition, there is peril. The Bible said that the wise man looked and he sought and he organized and put in order sayings. I know all of you preachers, you're gleaning. You're looking. I thought of a word that I heard just a while back while Brother Epley was preaching, challenging us to forgive. And it was this: sometimes letting go is not just releasing. Sometimes letting go is letting be. What I'm telling you is you can't change some situations. You can't undo what's already been done. But you can just say, hey, I'm going to let it be. They can be what they want to be. They can do what they want to do. But I'm not going to let that change me and who I am, nor determine the joy, the peace, the love, the serenity that I have in my life. I'll just let it be. And God knows we need that kind of gleaning in our world, that God will make us wise men, that we can speak the word of God, that can prompt the people of God to do what they need to do, and also help them to be solid, stable, secure people. And that's what leads me to the next verse. The Bible said the words, the speech, and the writings of a wise man are goads. They prick people's conscience. They produce obedience. They increase a saint's faith. They give them the courage to act. The words of the wise, they help the people to make the next step. I wonder how many saints of God come to church and they just make it. Hallelujah. But God anointed their pastor that night and you gave them a word that let them make the critical next step. The words of the wise, they keep the people of God moving forward. They affect progress. They provoke unto good works. They help the people withdraw themselves from evil influences. They help them draw near to God. And they help them to make it into God's full purpose, God's plan, God's will, and God's desire. It helps them to walk in righteousness. It's like goads. But the Bible says it's also, the words of the wise are also like nails fastened. The wise man knows how to say things in such a way that it drives the point home. The man that'll take time and think and pray and study and contemplate and read will have the ability to articulate the mind of God.
and the will of God and the truth of God, such that, amen, not only does it produce progress, but it produces stability. Just like we heard in the minister session yesterday, amen, keep us rooted and grounded in solid doctrine and keep us ever reaching for the lost. Hallelujah. Can you hang with me just a little bit more? This is what I'm going to call the meat in the middle today. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible goes on to say that through these wise men's words, wisdom is gained by the people. They give the people something to hold on to. Their words become as nails fastened. Gives the people something to hold on to while they're going through the storms of life. Hallelujah. Their effect is progress and stability. The Bible said the words of the wise are as golds and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. The preachers, these wise men, become masters of assemblies. This is more than just an overseer of a congregation. But these students of truth become wordsmiths. They become sages, teachers, instructors. And they become an owner of a collection of truth that is to die for. As they've gone through life, they've been mining. They've been thinking, how can I say it? What's the best way, God? How do you want it said? I know the way I want to say it, but how do you want it said? How do they need to hear it? What exactly needs to be spoken? The Bible said that the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit speaketh distinctly. The Spirit speaketh exactly. The Holy Ghost is always right on. And you can never say it better than what the Holy Ghost wants it to say. And so these men become masters of assemblies, lords of a collection that people would die for. There's men all over this building. I wish you'd let me in your office. But I wouldn't get in your stuff without permission. Matter of fact, you'd have to hand it to me. This is the negative here. Don't ever dig in a preacher's Bible. In his notes. You better reverence that elder and that good man. Don't even take a sneak peek. Praise God. Whatever. He gives you the book, read it, and he's got something written in the side. Enjoy it. You understand what I'm trying to say, Dave? Praise God. You'd think everybody ought to know that, but that's why a preacher has to preach, because some people don't get it. You got to say it. So the master of an assembly, of a collection, has heard message after message. And he's jotted down what God has spoken to him, what's resonated in his soul from the elders he heard in life. The messages he has preached and developed himself. He owns books. He writes books. He's got a computer that's got file after file after file after file of quotes. Research that he's gathered through the years on particular subjects. And his mind possesses more. There's still things that's being formed. Messages unpreached. Words unspoken. And the Bible said, and when it's all said and done, it's like we've heard from one shepherd. When it's all said and done, we've heard one voice. It's just like the Bible. There was many writers, but one author. There was many voices, but one speaking. And may it ever be that we remain the church who is the pillar and the ground of truth. And may solid doctrine be preached in our churches. And may we be able to uphold the truth in this world and be the foundation and the ground of truth. Amen. That's keeping it steady in this world. Whether you do or not, I'm glad for the word of the Lord that says that the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank God for a gathering of apostolic ministry in this place that says, God, I'm not just looking for good ideas. I'm not just looking for a new way, but I want to know apostolic doctrine. I want to understand the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I want to be a voice that brings strength to your work in my generation. The prophet Isaiah said, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. We're picking it up now. Hallelujah. Amen. The tongue of the learned. He said, I've been taught some lessons. I've heard the instruction of wisdom. I have become gifted and skilled with words. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Hallelujah. Amen. Through the help of the Lord, Isaiah was able to give the weary the right word at the right time. Sometimes people are in the weariness of sin. Sometimes saints are in the weariness of the battle. Amen. But it doesn't matter who the weary are. God has the ability to give us the right word that we can speak at the right time. Amen. That'll help the weary. Amen. It'll be a word that'll pick them up. A word that'll perk them up. A word that'll increase their faith. A word that'll give them courage. Courage to repent. Courage to obey the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Courage to draw the line where they need to draw the line. Whatever it is, the word of the wise will make it happen. These words become priceless words. Apples of gold in pitchers of silver. It's saving words that help people recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Encouraging words that rescue saints that are on the brink of despair. It's words that restore the soul, revive the spirit, and renew the mind. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 19 of Jesus, he shall not strive nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench. Christ was not known as a loud, boisterous, bickering brawler on the street. No, he was known as a gentle lamb and an humble servant. He had such power under control that a bruised reed that's known for its weakness, a bruised reed that at best can be swayed with the winds to and fro, that weak reed, when it's bruised, what's much weaker than that? But he can take the bruised reed and he can handle it with such care, knowing exactly what needs to be done, and he can bring that broken, bruised reed pack up to strength, stand tall, and let the wind blow through it again. Christ was going to take the smoking flax, what could just easily and eternally be snuffed out with just too much wind. You'll have to change the screen. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't spit too much in it. But Christ could blow on that. I mean, he's got power. He could part the Red Sea with the wind. But the Lord has the ability to take the smoking flax and just... what was just a burning ember, and bring it back to a roaring flame and Holy Ghost fire in someone's soul. I hear the Lord telling me today, men, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. I need to know where we're at. What time is it, brother? 20. All right. Praise God. I'm going to finish. Everybody say, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Amen. He said, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The Lord was saying through the prophet Isaiah, I want you to tell Jerusalem the battle is over. I want you to tell Jerusalem that hard times are past. I want you to tell Jerusalem the war is ended. I want you to tell Jerusalem judgment is over. I want you to tell Jerusalem that her iniquity has been pardoned. I want you to tell Jerusalem that it's time for revival. I want you to tell Jerusalem Messiah is on his way. I want you to tell Jerusalem the kingdom is coming. I want you to tell Jerusalem the Lord that you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple. I want you to tell the people that sat in darkness that light has come. And to them that sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Tell them there's bright days. Amen. Bright rays for their dark days. Amen. He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He said, tell Jerusalem, the blind are going to see. Tell Jerusalem, the lame are going to walk. Tell the deaf mute, they will hear and they will speak. Tell Jerusalem, Isaiah, tell them this, that God's ready to bind up the brokenhearted. Tell Jerusalem, it's time for the oppressed to go free. Tell Jerusalem, it's time to liberate the captives. Get the word out. Proclaim it. Tell everybody everywhere you go. Preach the good news. Tell Jerusalem, the prison doors are being opened. Now, oftentimes, when I looked at that Isaiah prophecy, I thought of just a single cell. Tell them the prison door's open. But I saw it this morning when I looked at it. The whole prison. Every door. The entrance to the prison. The prison doors are being opened. Everybody can go free. The Lord said, I want you as my ministers to get the word out. As you approach the pulpit, I want you to tell them victory's here. Deliverance is here. Salvation is here. I've been saying it's coming, but we're living in the fulfillment. It's here. Tell everybody you know there's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in repentance. There's power in obedience. There's power, Holy Ghost power, to be received through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, the word of the Lord is that He wants us to preach our people happy. Amen. Our goal should not be just get them in the altar weeping and crying. That might be where they need to start, but that's not where they need to end up. God wants to get them up, dry their tears, put power in their heart. Amen. Give them joy and put them on the streets to do the work of God and win souls. I tell our church, I say, listen, it's not all in the shout. You can't shout your way over sin. You can't shout your way through sin. The only answer for sin is the blood. You gotta go to the altar. You gotta repent. Unrepentant sin is unforgiven sin. But I don't want them just sobbing inside and crying over their failure. I want them to hear, you're forgiven. You're washed. You are clean. And we want the Holy Ghost to breathe. We want the Holy Ghost to breathe on. It's not all in the shout. But it ain't over till you can shout about it. You may not shake. You may not quake. You may not roll in the floor. Everybody does it their own way. But it's not over till something inside of the soul says, woo! Thank God for the blood. I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants our people to get on their feet and be filled with joy and power and glory. I tell you what Nehemiah did when they were rebuilding the wall. He said, listen, I don't want any more crying today. You've been hearing the word of God and you're weeping. We got a long ways to go. But I'm telling you, today is a holy day. And there's no more crying today. No more sorrow today. It's a time to rejoice. It's time to be happy. It's the time to be renewed in what God is doing. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We gotta get our song back. We gotta get our dance back. We gotta get our shout back. Amen. We gotta shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm just telling you, we got to preach our people happy. We got to get them back on their feet again. Amen. We got to preach them in the altar, but we got to preach them on their feet again and get joy back in their heart and a dance in their step. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church the second time, he said, I want you to know, I told you to deal harshly with a man and don't be easy with it. You take care of business. But I'm telling you now, he repented. I'm telling you now that he made things right. And if he's made things right, whoever you forgive, I'll forgive. He said, I'm telling you, that man will get overwhelmed with too much sorrow. And he said, I'm telling you, we don't want him to get overwhelmed with sorrow. He messed up big time. But he is repentant sincerely and honest-heartedly. And I want you to get him back up on his feet. And I want you to comfort him. And I want you to confirm to him that he is not a rejected brother. But he is now accepted in the Beloved. What I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost says today that our restoration needs to be as strong as our rebuke. If we're willing to make it plain and say, you gotta do it right. Amen. When they hit the altar and weep and cry and sob, we gotta be able to say, you did it right. Now let's go on and do the work of God. Isn't that what the Lord has done for us? None of us are worthy. None of us are deserving. But God is good and He confirms His work in our life.
Boy, I was so blessed the other day. I'm almost there. You can stand if you want. I was so blessed the other day. I was preaching a series of lessons. I believe. Preaching about faith. I was reading Hebrews chapter 11 again. Looking at all the wonderful things that was accomplished by faith. And I read that verse again that said, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith, Isaac blessed. Jacob and Esau. Well, we can read over that quick. I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot of faith to bless some people. Because you're looking at who they are and what they are. I'm not talking about pie in the sky. I'm not talking about just positive speaking. I'm telling you, seeing through eyes of the Holy Ghost that sees beyond what an individual is and says, I see through eyes of faith. I can sense in the Spirit what God is doing in your life. You may be a deceiver right now, Jacob. You may have stole your brother's birthright, but I'm going to lay my hands on you and bless you. And I'm going to say to you that the blessing of your father Abraham be upon you, and may God bring you back to this land and give you this portion as he gave it to Abraham. I'm going to bless you. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God wants us to bless our church. I'm almost through. Just hang with me. Amen. The Bible lets us know, amen, that Isaac blessed Jacob. There's been times as a young pastor, I've walked to the pulpit. And I don't know what the mind of God is. I've been praying. Last week it was easy. But tonight on Sunday night when we have our blowouts, I don't know what to do. I feel it just locked down. And I'm like, God, is it me? You mad at me? Is there sin in the church? Tell me. I'll get the sword. This is one thing I've found since I've started pastoring. God don't use the sword near as much as I thought he would. What do I do, God? I'm feeling after the Lord. I can feel it. The church can feel it. It just ain't popping. It ain't happening. I tell you what the Lord has prompted me to do in times like that. When he hadn't spoken to me what the problem is, and it's not just obvious sin, and God's not revealed it, I'm telling you, it's spiritual powers that you're up against that God wants you to break through. And I'm going to tell you what I've done in times like that. I just step to the pulpit and I start reminding the church of things that God has talked to me about. Of his plans and his purpose and what he's wanting to do in Jennings, in their lives, and through that. And I'm telling you, it's not long to the power of God. It starts coming down. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we want to start striking out when the battle gets hot. Can I tell you, God may just want you to speak a word of faith according to his leading. And speak his will into existence. Speak life. Speak faith. This is the closing word. I heard a while back that when Martin Luther King gave his speech, the March on Washington, he delivered his notes to the press at 4:00 in the morning before he gave his speech. When he submitted those notes, the press read through it. They listened intently as he gave his speech that day. This is documented history. Those of you probably already know this, some of you. But I was reminded of it late. And that is, when he gets to about 12 minutes in his speech, he starts picking up pace. And that preacher instinct starts coming out. And he starts hitting a rhythm and a stride. I have a dream. And the rest is history. It's known by many as the best speech of the 20th century. I went to the library of President William Jefferson Clinton Saturday. I heard him say it as I was listening. He said, "This is the greatest speech of my lifetime." But can I tell you,
those that were following the script, when he got to that portion at 12 minutes, I have a dream. He went off script. It wasn't in his notes. It wasn't there. And that's what he's remembered for today. This is what they say happened. Mahalia Jackson, who sang two songs that day. One of them was, How I Made It Over. How I Made It Over. Sometimes I look back and I wonder how I made it over. She was sitting close by, and in about 12 minutes, she said, Tell them about your dream, Martin. Tell them about your dream, Martin. Tell them about your dream. And he goes off script, and he didn't go off his strip. Brother Joyner, I made that right. He went off script, and he began to say what was deep in his heart and deep in his soul and deep in his spirit, saying, I have a vision. I have a dream. I see something. I've been to the promised land. And I'm telling you, brothers, God wants us to go back to our church, and he wants us to tell him about our dream. He's already spoken to you. He's already talking to you. He's got it in your heart. He's given you vision. He sent you to that city. He's telling you what he wants to do with Sally and Susie and Johnny and Jane. And he wants you to get in that pulpit and tell him about your dream. He wants you to speak faith and life into your people. God bless you.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands right now. Thank you, Brother Townley, for encouraging us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word today, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.